CliffCentral.com.
Yes, good morning, everybody. How do I? I'm just getting my, you know, just clearing my throat, starting the day right, you know.
Oh, that's what that is. No, not COVID?
No, it's not. Oh, even if it was, who cares? I know two people, they're in their 90s, right? There's two people in their 90s. They get COVID for the third or fourth time. I can't even remember. And they're fine.
Damn.
They're fine. They're fine. You see, it's not a thing anymore. It's like, oh, Lebang got the flu the other day, so she needed a day or two off work, and then she was back at work, and it's fine. And I'm only saying this because one day when someone goes through these recordings, some like historian or someone who's feeling extremely nostalgic for the past, and they listen, they're like, oh my God, like 2 years ago, all they could talk about was this thing that broke out in China and how dangerous and deadly, and the whole world had to shut down. And they're going to say, let's fast forward 2 years and see what they talk about then. And I want them to hear that. Two 90-year-olds just, you know, carried on with their lives.
They just kept it moving.
All right, speaking of keeping it moving, we've got lots to do today, and we've only really got a little bit of time. So Lebang is with us, and we are ready to take on a whole bunch of stuff. I just want to start off with something very mean that was sent to us by Pitleng. By the way, Lebang, oh, there's your power. Okay. Because mine is scheduled. Mine is scheduled to come. I'm using this app more than any other app in the whole world right now, this load shedding app.
It says a push.
Yeah, it says mine is going to come on any time between now and half past. Holding thumbs.
How is that possible? So it doesn't give you like an exact time? Mm-mm. It just says like plus minus.
No, it says, it always says 6:30, for example, but then like somewhere between 6 and 6:30 it comes back on. It's like Eskom saying to you, I can still fuck with you.
there's a video of the guy who actually like puts the switches down.
So
he's busy putting them down. Then he goes, I'll see you guys in 2 hours. I was like, oh, go away.
son of a bitch. Oh, all right. Well, I decided, I think I mentioned this week. It's going to cost me and I don't have the money, but I'm going to have to just do soda. So I'm doing it.
Really?
So it's happening like, this week. It's happening.
You've decided.
Yeah. It's happening. No, sure. The guys are coming today to install. So it's going to take a day or two to install. Holding thumbs, you know, all that stuff. But by Friday, we'll be on up and running. And you know what? I'll save a bit of money on my electricity, hopefully. But more importantly, I won't have to sit like this in the dark, like an embarrassment, like a disgrace.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. You must just be careful with these solar companies, eh? There's been some, like, mishaps, some explosions are taking place with some of these fly-by-night solar companies.
I was just about to say the fly-by-night ones, the ones you got to be careful of. And then, like, oh, no, we've got... Where did you get those panels? Ah, no, chief, off the back of a truck. Don't worry.
My brother's cousin's uncle gave me a tender for their, you know, their last, their old one. Yo, it's like, dude, no, don't even. So just be careful who you actually trust to
don't worry.
Put the solar in.
My grandfather's bus driver's best friend was at Eskom. He left these in his backyard for like 14 years. You can have them for 500 each.
And then there's also payment plans as well. So if you're not, you can't afford the ones off like 90,000 rand or whatever, you can do like 1.5 a month for the rest of like Lord knows how long.
80 to 90.
If you are willing to,
if you can do,
sign your life off.
Let me tell you something. If you can do 80 to 90 to put in the system, then you're doing very well. And you are getting a good deal.
Yeah.
No, so
you're getting like top tier solar.
So here's Karen. Let me just go to these voice notes quickly. Karen has some Schadenfreude for us, right? This is her feeling a little bit better about what's going on in the UK.
Hey there, Gareth and team. I just thought I'd let you know that I read this weekend that the UK are going to be implementing load shedding. So a little bit of Schadenfreude there.
Mm-hmm.
Thought that might tickle you. It's not just us. We're no longer alone.
Right.
This is Karen. Ciao.
Karen. There we go.
Yikes.
Thanks, Karen. And then I think this is very mean. Bihlang sent us a voice note. He's still on holiday, and he thinks it's hilarious that we're complaining about people who are still on holiday. So here, just listen to this. This is bound to piss anyone who's been at work for like 3 weeks. Really. This is going to piss them off in a big way.
Evening, G and the team. I'm only catching up on this morning's show now in the evening. No shame at all. Mm-hmm. Hey, but now you guys should just keep quiet and stop talking about people like me who are still on holiday. But now, jealousy il drang. Like, you guys just accept, Gareth, just, you started this thing last week. Accept, Amrana, where you are back at work and some of us, people like me, are still holidaying, Baba. I'm only going back to the office next week Monday, and I'm even happier about it. And the more you guys keep talking about people who are still on holiday every morning, I'm just in bed laughing at you like, work for us people, you are here to be our entertainment. Stop, it's a big thing.
Son of a bitch.
You work for us people.
I know.
You are here to be our entertainment. I love that. Look, I'm not mad at that. Like, it is what it is. Do you, it's December, what? December 42nd for you and the rest of y'all. Live your best lives, guys. 42nd. Live your best lives.
Yeah. Son of a bitch. I'm not happy about that voice note at all. All right. Well, we have much to get into today. Much to discuss. There's so many crazy things going on at the moment. We'll start off with back to school, because that is the reality for most parents. It's probably for most parents in the country, what, the second week back already. But I was talking to you, and that's why I bring this up now while you're on. Because you were sitting there at your desk, and you were kind of smiling and like humming a tune, and then suddenly you just went... and you like looked around.
Like I do always.
And I was like, I said to you, what's going on? And you said, let me tell you something. They send you a stationery list for school. So I said, yeah, but there's nothing new. They sent us stationery list when I was at school. And you need this many pencils, and you need a box of this stuff, and you need this, and you need that, and exercise books and all this stuff. I thought, okay, there's nothing different about that. And you went, nah, ha. Now, they just include a tablet as part of the stationery. They're like, you can get one of those cheap ones or one of the expensive ones, with the cheap ones still being a couple of thousand rand, right? And they're like, yeah, get one of those because that's essential stationery now for a kid. And we're not, by the way, we're not talking about like, end of high school. We're talking about
grade four. This is a child.
Grade four.
This is literally a child. They throw it in there so casually, Gareth, like, tra-la-la, pencils, ruler, pencil case, chair bag. Oh, and by the way, a Android or iOS tablet. What? And they purposely put it at the bottom of the list just to, they build you up thinking, oh, okay, cool, I can afford these, a couple of pens, erasers, sharpener, whatever.
Yeah.
And then after dictionary is tablet. And then they're going to details about the different types of tablets. So it can either be a Samsung or an Android, blah, blah, blah. But the minimum requirements are ABC. And then the iPad, this is that. I'm like, where am I going to get the funds to make this happen, was my first thought. It was insane. Like, I had a week from hell trying to find this tablet. Every tablet that I found was not good enough. It didn't meet the minimum requirements. They weren't going to be able to do certain
You're
things,
joking.
Blah, blah, blah. And
really?
I kid you not. And I sat there and I'm like, if I, Lebang Khosana, am struggling like this, then I know for sure half of those parents are just like, they've thrown in the towel. And true to form, my kid was like, yeah, mommy, only some of us have tablets and some of us don't. I was like, well, then what is the point? Is there no other way around this? But yeah, use condoms, kids, is the bottom line. Birth control is real. Because this is... It's wild. It's pretty wild.
It's this. I hate this sign, but when people rub the thumb and the forefinger together, it's money, 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 money. That's what it
chalete,
is.
Chalete. Right. And I just wonder, how the schooling system is in South Africa, Gareth? There's schools that still don't have toilets.
Exactly.
They still don't have, running water. They still don't have doors and desks. But then, on the other side where you think it's greener, kids need tablets to learn things. I'm like, damn, bro. Nah. It is what it is.
Well, a couple of comments here. Tracy says, we're considering renting solar panels just to see how it goes. Must be about 2,000 rand a month. Well, if you can save that 2,000 rand, you know, off of your Eskom bill, then it may be worth it. There are ways to cut your consumption as well. I mean, if I'm in charge of when I switch my power off, you watch me save some money.
Yeah.
Sibanda wants to say, let's talk about Prince Harry, goddammit. No, we've done that a lot this week.
We've exhausted that.
Yeah, well, for now.
Prince Harry is itching where he is. His ear is just like...
It's worth saying this.
Somebody's like, talking about it.
He apparently said, I've got enough material for another book or two, which is almost like a bit of an implied threat. He's like, you know, I've still got... There's more where that came from. Son of a bitch. So... Dr. Robin says, a mate of mine had a solar installation done. A few weeks later, the cops knocked on his door. The batteries that he'd been sold were stolen cell tower batteries. He lost it all.
You see? Just be careful. Everybody is suddenly can install solar. Yeah. Literally everybody. Yeah. Every second person.
Yeah.
Last week, you were a chef,
right,
Randall. Now you are installing solar, Randall. Uh-huh. What is happening? Do you know what I mean? Just be careful.
Unbelievable.
Hi. Yeah, man, it's wild.
So let's look here quickly. Tabo says, hello, good people. Finally woke up early after 2 months going back to work today. Nice, Tabo.
Morning.
Again,
morning.
Two months of not being at work. You've got to explain to us how you get that right. What
Teachers
kind of a job?
Fancy.
What kind of job do you have where you can take off so much time, Tabo? Really? KB has a suggestion for guests. KB says, you must get Rian van Heerden as a guest co-host. I just discovered yesterday that he's no longer on the Purple radio station. I actually saw Rian on, I think it was the second last week of December. I went to visit him at his offices. You know, he produces the Real Huisvroue van Pretoria, Real Housewives van Pretoria.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, he
produces
that TV show, which has been an absolute smash hit. I mean, apparently everybody watched it. English, Afrikaans, white, black. It was one of the most popular shows on TV, full stop. And he's done really, really well out of it. And I think they're going to probably commission another one soon. Well, I hope they do for his sake.
Good.
But he's produced a whole bunch of really, really excellent TV shows. You know, he also did that Sex in Afrikaans show, which people loved. And he's got a whole bunch of other things up his sleeve. So he's busy. But yeah, we'll get him on the show. I love talking to Rian. He's an old friend, and he's always, you know, he's full of inspiration. Makes me laugh. And yeah, good suggestion there, KB. More suggestions.
Have
coming
you ever?
What's that?
Sorry, Gareth. Have you seen any of the Real Housewives? Like literally any of them? Because now they like there's so many.
No, I've never watched any of those shows. You know, the way I feel about it, if I want to see Real Housewives, I just walk down my street.
I knew it. Just go for a nice little walk, and there it is. Bob's your uncle.
Yeah, this is not a hard thing. You know, supply and demand. Housewives, there's a huge supply and not that much demand, if you ask me. So I don't know if that's me being mean, but I don't see the value of the Housewives the way other people do. All right.
Some people love it.
Jared has a whole bunch of guest suggestions. You know, just click my fingers and get like Ben Shapiro, AOC, Elon Musk. Sure, I'll just get them. And
sure,
Sibanda says get Jacob Zuma. Again, easy, easy peasy, right? I'll get them all. So thanks, guys.
Pop them a WhatsApp, you know, just say, Elon, it's me, your boy from Pretoria. What's up? So what are you doing next week? Can you come onto my show? Let's have a chat.
Sure.
That's all.
and Steve says, hey, where are all those tablets that Squirrel promised? Remember he promised us tablets, didn't he?
Actually.
Yeah, he should be giving your kid a tablet for school. That's what should be happening.
Hey.
Squirrel.
Hey, but he also is a man of many promises, lest we forget. Like, tablet's not at the top of the list. If there is a list.
Dr. Robin says, my kid's at an Apple-accredited school. They can at least offer us a deal on iPads. What is an Apple-accredited school? Is that a real thing?
That is wild. Apple accredited school.
No.
So they probably get like all their Apple products in bulk.
Jeez.
It's the world we live in.
This is crazy.
But this also happened during lockdown. Like remember at the start of lockdown, schools were just like, okay, so your kids will have to be learning from home. Make sure they all have laptops and stuff. Like, what? Where are we? What? How? Yeah, it's just, it's madness.
No, it's completely crazy. So what other things do you have to do? Because now you've got five kids. Obviously, a few of them are not old enough yet to worry about school, but they're enough for you to worry about school the whole time. So what are the other things? Because now you have to organize who takes them to school. Like on a day like today, you're working with me here. So do they get a lift? Is there... How does it all work? Because it's major logistics. And then there's some of them have sports, some of them have like something else in the afternoon. I mean, this must be logistical. You must keep 7 diaries in your head at all times, right? How do you do this?
I call us the Magnificent 7 because there's 7 of us.
Very good.
But what's nice is that like the parents, me and my partner, are definitely like involved. So I'm at work. He's going to take the boys to school. The girls are sleeping at home with the nannies there as well in case any of them wake up. But they're not awake right now. They'll probably wake up at like 8. You'll just hear screams and shouts and.
Okay.
But it's having a system that everybody is clearly involved in. Just like how I do my work. Everything's on an Excel spreadsheet.
Everything.
Everybody has their colors in their columns. 3 o'clock soccer. God. 4 o'clock this, Wednesday karate, Thursday this, that.
Oh my God.
It is a whole system and I just need to print it out and put it on the fridge so everybody can see it. But I think, you know, if you get into a bit of a groove, then you'll be fine. The nice thing is that literally I'm not the only adult having to do this. That's why I always advocate for having two parents in a household. You can't
do it
on your own. It's just, it's impossible.
Can you imagine being a single mom and having to handle all of that? There's just no way.
It's impossible. No, it's unreal. It's unreal. And you know, these kids have like their own personalities. There's almost this idea that, okay, well, I've got these kids. I'm just going to put like a blanket over all of them and like do the same thing with all of them. It does not work like that. The one kid is wild and wants to scream all the time. The other kid is like quiet and like a shy, has no personality. The other kid is just a firecracker, wants to be doing sports all the time. The other kid wants to just sit and read a book the whole time. It's just different people's different personalities that, you know, I single-handedly have to manage with my partner. And the beauty is that we're just watching them grow and change every day and become their own little people. You know, the day will come where they don't care about us anymore. You know, like my parents always like, you guys just grew up. We blinked and you guys were gone. You don't want to hang out with us anymore. You don't want to chill with us anymore. Now, like, my mom's like, getting any of your attention is like so much work. Whereas I'm in a phase of like, oh, my kids are all over. Ah, get them off me. But I know that tomorrow I'm going to be like, please come back. Please just give me a little bit of a kiss.
Right.
So, yeah, man, it's a beautiful journey to be a part of.
Well, it's also hugely hard work. So respect to you.
Definitely.
So look at this.
Definitely.
Wen says, real housewives are not dripping in gold and diamonds. They don't have long manicured nails. Those are kept women with rich husbands. Yeah, the real housewives are working. Mm. And let me tell you something. Being a mom and being a full-time homemaker is also a real job, and it's tough. That's another part of what you have to do. Plenty of Housewives, says Mash. Also, at Benmore Center in Santa, no need to be watching Real Housewives on TV. If you go there, grab something in the morning. Those coffee shops are full on a Tuesday. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And that's the real life. That's really what they're doing every day.
Right. And you know what? It's not glamorous, but it's... It's hugely important. Like society and civilization falls down when people who we think we can take for granted start being taken for granted. That's unfortunately true all the time. All right. So, because we've only really got an hour, we've got a brilliant, well, I think it's quite brilliant. We've got like a very interesting human being who I spoke to, just the other day, a guy called LJ Fenter. I had him on the show probably in October, November last year. He's a prolific writer. He's written a bunch of books. And he told me about what the Russians are doing in the Central African Republic. Not just there, but also in Mali. Not just there, but also in Mozambique. And let me tell you something. It is frightening what's going on this continent that we don't even know the half of. And I spoke to him just a few days ago, and he revealed the whole story to me, the pictures, the whole interviews. It's probably about, 40 minutes of really, really jarring and frightening stuff that we should know about that most people are completely blissfully unaware of. So we're going to play that out a little later this morning, sort of somewhere between 7:15 and 7:30. So don't miss that. It's very, very interesting. And I did mention it on the Burning Platform on Thursday. So a little reminder that that's going out this morning, and you'll be able to join us when that kicks off a little bit later. Got loads of other stuff too, some news that we have to get to. They still haven't found that tiger, hey? They still have not found the tiger. Yeah, you laugh, but really? I mean, you saw that, I think it was our own friend Brent Lindekew who put up the picture of a dog with the, you know, one of those gates, and it looks like the shadows of the
stripes.
Gate. It looks like stripes on a tiger, and he's like, oh, shat myself. I thought that was the tiger. But this thing,
shame, man.
It's killed a couple of dogs. It's like hurt this one man really badly. You know, a tiger is a very, very dangerous thing. You're not fucking around here. It's not like some house cat, you know?
Yeah, no, for real. I think if like, what do you do if you see the tiger though, Gareth? Like, do you run? Do you just like, it's a tiger for crying out loud.
Yeah, there are only a few options there, and I'm not going to tell you what to do. Because if I say run and then you run and you get mauled to death, then it's my fault. If I say climb a tree and the tiger can climb faster than you, then it's my fault. If I say go and hide behind something and that something gets torn down by the tiger, then it's my fault. I'm just staying
it's
there.
Your fault.
I'm staying out of this thing. I don't know. But
I also don't know, honestly. And you know, in those situations where you're just like in complete shock, your plans of what you would do in that, everything just goes out the window. I feel like natural instinct like sort of kicks in, and it's either you just like freeze and you're like fucked,
yeah,
or like you just bolt and you're still fucked. So yeah, there's no right or wrong, I guess.
Just Ginger Winger says feed it a chicken. Yeah, but that's if you've got a chicken on hand right there and then.
Because, sure.
I mean, who's walking around with a carcass of a chicken in one hand, you know?
Honestly, where do you find a chicken in that moment?
So Steve says my neighbor is a single father. Kudos to him raising two kids. Yeah, also really hard. I mean, you know, it's no easier. If you're a single parent, just full stop.
Yeah.
My heart goes out to you, especially this time of year. And they say that this Monday, obviously in the Northern Hemisphere, this counts more than it does here. But this last Monday was like Murder Monday. It's like the hardest day in the year for people in the Northern Hemisphere to get through because it's dark, it's cold, it's miserable. They're back at work. They've run out of money because of the holidays. It's like the worst day of the year for people in the Northern Hemisphere this last Monday. So I suppose for us, most of that stuff still counts, right? We've been through Christmas and holidays, and now we don't have any money, and you're back at work, and it's December, and you're looking at your bank balance going, that's how all of us on earth are feeling right now.
But some people are like really desperate. You know, I'm a Facebook market addict. Mm. So people are selling crazy things for dirt cheap. Gareth,
tell me. I love this.
I saw these like two leather seats, almost like wing back.
Oh, yeah?
Brown, rich leather wing backs. Two of them with a small, cute coffee table. Please ask me how much they were going for. $500.
No.
I couldn't believe it. Like, I'm sitting there. I'm like, people are so desperate for money. There was a person selling an iPad. I think it was like a second generation, one of the older models, for 150 rands.
Oh, my God. 150. Wow.
Gareth, it's wild. It's wild out there right now on Facebook markets.
All right. So you get on Facebook markets and you can find how do you know what to look for?
Well, what do you want? What is it that you need?
Really?
That's where you start.
You type it in and then a whole bunch of things come up?
Yeah. Yeah. Literally the stuff around your area, you know, the person's profile, what they're selling, how much it costs. And then you can just click and message them. And what I like about Facebook market, other than getting scammed from time to time, is that you're dealing directly like with a person for the most part. And these aren't things you're going to find like in a shop. Some of them are vintage. Some of them are just like once off pieces. It's not that mass produced schlep that everybody imports from Alibaba and then resells in South Africa. And people are desperate for money right now, Gareth. Like some of the things I'm seeing there, I'm like, yo, king size Sealy Posturepedic mattress, 1,500, was retailing for 12,000. I'm like, ha, guys, what's going on?
Okay, so big bargains.
It is wild, man.
Big bargains on there. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're like me and you like, you know, interesting pieces that you can't find anywhere, and some people really take good care of their things. And again, people just want money right now, so they're willing to risk it all, literally.
Well, listen, I mean, this is a good time to bargain hunt, but the problem is, like you say, are there all these bargains? But the problem is, I don't have any money either. So what am I going to buy? You know?
Well, there you go.
Like, oh, those chairs are so, those are such awesome chairs. But you look at your banking app, you're like,
where are you going to get that 500?
Put that down and put it away. Although I will tell you that something happened that really pissed me off a little bit yesterday. I went to the post office, which I hate doing, but you know, occasionally you get deliveries from overseas. And sometimes they actually get to you. And I went to collect two of them that had been waiting for me since like November. Do you know what the customs on these two little boxes? I think it was like a T-shirt and some other stuff. It wasn't like expensive stuff. The goods themselves cost me maybe, I don't know, 800 rand or something altogether. Do you know what the duties and the customs on those two packages were?
Like triple that.
1,200 rand. So that means...
Oh, no.
Yeah. So instead of, you know, paying 800 rand for things that were worth 800 rand, I ended up paying 2,000 rand for things that cost 800 rand. And that 1,200 rand goes straight to taxes, so it's government. So they're charging me more than the price plus like 50% on the stuff I ordered, which is, it's crazy, right? I mean, that's robbery. That's not money that they deserve. They are not involved in this transaction at all. That is something I am buying with my money from people who are making this stuff overseas because no one here can. Trust me, it's not stuff, you know, these are things that I couldn't have got here. So
honestly,
it has nothing to do with Edward Kisveta and SARS, but they just smack a 1,200 rand. So I've just decided I can't order anything online anymore from overseas. You don't know what it's going to cost you. It might, thank God, like they were taking, you know, card payments at the post office because otherwise what would I have done? Right.
But Gareth, you know that like a lot of things don't get produced this side. And what if it's something like you need?
Right.
Like you absolutely need this thing. Oh. You have no choice. Then what? You're just not going to get it.
So I ordered, the other thing was these pads for these headphones, right? That was the other thing.
Yeah.
So it's just these pads that go on your headphones because rather than buying a whole new set of headphones, which cost you, you know, another 3,000 rand or something, I was like, let me get six of these and then I can replace them for the next 3 years. And then I'll have, you know, good quality working headphones. So anyway, I ordered them and that was part of what this package was. And I was like, how can you do this to people? Because I can't get these anywhere else.
Yeah.
Anyway, I mean, it's not worth bitching about too much, but I mean, this happens to a lot of people, right? You go to the shops.
It does.
Online and you think, ooh, look at that. I can get that on Amazon. We were talking to Sureshni yesterday. She's moved to Tucson, Arizona. And she's like, ooh, it's so easy for her. She goes on, orders like 2 days later, it arrives at her house from anywhere in America.
It must be so nice. So nice. Yeah. I know there's like a huge like rise in young South Africans shopping on Shein, which is also one of these like, you know, global apps, and they have these crazy things like a dress, like an evening dress for like 180 rands, shoes for like, you know, 200 rands, things that would cost you way more. But again, it's the price for, it's the customs and it's all the shipping, delivery, blah, 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 blah. It's all that stuff that really costs you. So there's a lot of young influencers doing like life hacks where they tell you how to sort of like cheat that system. They'll be like, buy this much or do like a stock fell of a Shein where you and like 10 of your friends all purchase from the same app. And then, you know, people can find ways. If you want to, you will.
Yeah. No, that's right. So here's an interesting point from Ryan. He says, stay away from the post office at the end of the month when it's pension time. Those lines go out of the damn gate. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they closed down our post office, which was opposite our studio, basically. They've closed that one down. So now you have to go to the one, like it's about, I don't know, 5 Ks away or whatever. So it's also a bit of a ball ache because they've realized they can't run all these different branches. Anyway, I mean, I just don't understand. Here's Yonder who says, Gareth, that makes nonsense of duties and VAT. Should be at 30% on clothing items and then VAT. What was the breakdown unless they did reevaluation on their value? It said on the, you know, it always says on the slip what the value of the items inside is. Mm. And then SARS, I think they just go, you know, thumb suck. Well, what are we going to charge?
Yeah.
Let's just charge these.
They don't know.
Whatever we can. It's unbelievable.
Also, like, post offices are like quite, they're a little bit irrelevant as well, man. Like, yeah. There's like a lot that have just closed down. Mm. We also had one that we'd go to. I think it was in Wendywood, and then they closed that one down. Mm-hmm. Now everybody has to like run to Sunning Hill. So it gets so full. And definitely what Ryan's saying about the lines, it's just, it's crazy. It's pretty wild. And it's sad when you see the people in these lines not even get the help that they need. Like sometimes a representative will walk out and say, okay, well, we run out of money. So sorry, you guys are going to have to try again tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just not, it's not the vibe.
It's really, really badly run. Here's a quick, while we're bitching and moaning, here's something useful and interesting. Apparently, Ruth sent this to us. It's a guy who's making the rounds on social media telling the ANC and Eskom how to run their business. In the video, he talks about how Eskom could get their 18% without hiking prices. Listen to this. This is interesting. You want to take a listen?
Let's hear it.
Okay, ANC. Okay, Eskom. Here is a solution to your problems. Eskom, disconnect everybody who hasn't paid. Just cut them off right now.
Right.
There's your load shedding taken care of. Those people who haven't paid don't get electricity. End of story. Guess what? When you do that, some of those people who haven't paid will start paying. There's your extra 18%. Don't you fucking bastards come and take it from me. Fuck you. Fuck you, ANC. Fuck you, Eskom. Follow me for more tips on how to run this fucking country, you bunch of assholes.
I couldn't say it better. Like, he's right.
Damn.
If you're not paying, cut them off.
Sure. Jeez. This is South Africa. If I'm not paying, there's a reason. I can't afford it, so I'm going to find somebody to just bridge it for me.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob's my uncle. That's just the sad reality. Like, we literally all feel the same way.
Yeah.
We feel the same way as that guy. That, fuck you, ANC,
yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. But the reality is people just can't afford electricity. So they get it bridged. And that screws all of us, I guess, you know?
Straight to the point, says JP. Correct. Dogos is laughing his ass off. Sanele thinks it's hilarious too. Hey, Sanele, weren't we meant to have a meeting with you yesterday?
Actually, like, I brought out the good fine china came out for you, Sanele.
Yeah.
He ghosted us. Gareth, he actually ghosted us. Do you realize?
I'm not coming to the next one.
We got ghosted by our very own.
No,
you
know what? You don't pitch for a meeting with me once, then I'm not coming to the second one, Sanele. So I don't know. Don't know who you'll meet with. Maybe security at the gate.
if you're lucky.
Dr. Robin says her local post office was evicted because they didn't pay rent. okay. We ordered a fan from Australia for 3,500 rand. The post office charged us 1,300 rand. Yeah, you see? Yeah.
Yeah, no. How do they calculate these amounts? It's really feeling
it's random.
They're playing Monopoly with our lives here.
Yeah, and I mean, if you knew that you were going to pay another third for something like that, then you probably wouldn't buy it.
You wouldn't. And they don't tell you that in the fine print. Like, you check out, and then you check out, and they go, by the by.
Are you one of those people, if you got to the till and you didn't look at a price, and then they suddenly rang it up, and you were like, whoa, what's that? Would you take it out?
Gareth, I always look at the price.
Yeah.
I have to check the price tag.
Like, but if you...
I even sometimes have my calculator open, especially at like places like Macro. Because Macro does this thing where it goes, you can get what for $100. Everything is grouped. These sales are tricks. So I sit there with my calculator. I'm like, hey.
You figure out everyone. Hey. Okay, well.
And I keep it under budgets.
You see, there's a part of me that, like, because I don't like getting in other people's way, I'm always trying to get through as quickly as possible so I don't jam up the system. But if I get to the till and let's say, for example, they can't get a price on something, I was like, I'm sorry. I start apologizing to the people behind me in the queue and everything, even though it's not my fault that there's no price on there. But sometimes you get there and you go, what? Like 500 bucks for like three Avos? No, you're out of your mind. Like,
but in the on the thing, it said like 40 Rand. Now it's 500 Rand at the till. These things happen, eh? They bamboozle us, these shops. Yo. They play with us.
There's an interesting question from Nico. He says, Lebang, do you have double jointed fingers to fold backwards so you can use your phone with those long ass nails? I was watching a friend of mine using her phone over the weekend, and she also has long nails like you, Lebang. And she she has to like bend her hand up like this when she's on the phone because
It's not really bad, honestly.
You don't struggle?
It's just like,
you're just used
to
it.
No, and this is really not that long, I promise you. There's people who have really long nails where you could start asking yourself, like, are they okay? This is really not long at all, and I've managed quite well, and I don't have that problem. So to answer your question, no, Nico, I do not have double-jointed fingers to fold backwards, so I can use my phone for these long-ass nails. No.
There we go.
I got this.
There's the answer. The answer you've been waiting for. Okay, let's just talk about this because it's a thing I think a lot of people feel, especially at this time of year, is the imposter syndrome, you know, where you like, you look around and you go, am I the right person? Can I actually handle all of this? Like, we're building studios at the moment, so I am I'm the project manager for that because, you know, normally this would have been handled by Greg, who's now moved to Israel and he can't do it for us, so I have to do it. And I'm seriously concerned that I'm leaving stuff behind. I'm making lists of everything. I'm drawing plans of everything. I'm doing quotations of everything. And it's something I know I can do. It's not that difficult, but I'm so nervous that I forget something or leave something out. And then it delays our move or whatever else. So I think I'm suffering from a little bit of that right now.
No, definitely. I can completely relate. I mean, you know, all the changes that we have planned for the building and just for Cliff Central in general. And I'm so excited to be a part of this. But at the same time, I'm like, am I doing this right? Like, I know that I can and I know that I am, but I still always question myself at the end of the day. And I'm just like, oh, I could have done this better. Why didn't I try this? And really, it's that time of the year where we're back at work and life is starting again and things are really getting hectic. And for us, it's almost like we just went, we just got right into it, you know?
Yeah.
And it happens. So the imposter syndrome really just creeps in and you know you're the guy for the job, but you yourself will sit there and you're like, if I'd actually just said one more thing or if I hadn't said that thing. And it sucks so much. It really does suck so much. But I'm also trying to find ways to just like not have to live in that place because we overthink things so much as ourselves and we do it to ourselves. There's no one around us who is, you know, making us feel this way. The people around you will be like, you're doing great, sweetie. Oh, Gareth, I saw you drawing up the plans for the studio move. You're doing so well. And you're like, thanks, but I wish I had, you know. So it's definitely all internal. And I remember I had actually did a show on imposter syndrome last year on Life with Lebang. So I'm going to go back and listen to that so I can just refresh and remember what some of those tips were because we had brought in like a professional. And yeah, because the things that we're going to do this year need all of us to just be confident and know that what we're doing is like the right thing and know that we're going to achieve everything that we write down and not have these little, you know, concerns and worry and, left or right, tea or coffee, you know, no, I don't want to have to deal with that. It's just it's a yucky little feeling.
But I do think we're all, whether we admit it or not, we're all sufferers of this. We all have it a little bit. I'm pretty sure that even those people who seem to you to be so confident, who've got all their shit together, I reckon those people are also, on a bad day, you will find them sitting, looking like shell-shocked, maybe their hand in their, you know, head in their hands, going, oh my God, what am I going to do? I don't know how to deal with this. I'm not sure what to do about this problem. And I think it happens to a lot more people than are willing to admit it.
Definitely, definitely. It's just a few of us who are happy to talk about it and just be open and honest. You know, we're in tune with who we are. But with other people, like, dude, imagine if you're like the CEO of some crazy ass, like, freaking telecommunications You've got thousands and thousands of employees all looking to you for leadership and guidance. You know, you're not going to be like, oh, I've got imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
You have to act like you've got your shit together.
Dogoza says imposter syndrome on life, not just work lately. I'm doing great. And perhaps that's the reason why it's scary. Well, sometimes, you know, this is the point with that kind of thing is that imposter syndrome doesn't hit you when you're not doing well. It doesn't have anything to do with your current level of output or success or anything like that. It hits you even when you're doing extremely well. Like that's probably when it hits the hardest because you're suddenly thinking, oh my God, I've got this new position. I'm being paid a whole lot more. I've got more responsibilities. It's all the things I wanted, but now am I going to be able to do all of it? Am I going to actually be able to deliver and keep delivering? Yeah. And that's where it's very tough, I think. That's where it's really hard. Some of us are struggling to understand how tigers are now pets, says Zuzin. Yeah, we've been through this, but, you know, really, you don't have enough worries. It isn't tough enough to be a human in 2023 to deal with all the things we deal with, you know, business, school, children, responsibilities, trying to pay the bills, the load shedding, everything else. But now you also want to complicate your life by having a pet tiger.
Tiger. Zuzile, abantu baphila soft. People are living so soft that those are the struggles that they have. We are a different breed. We're just trying to get by. Mm. Others are like, what kind of steak am I going to feed my pet tiger today? Will it be Wagyu? Oh, well, literally people are living different lives. It's a lot. It is a lot.
So apparently they did find the tiger and they've put it down. So it's always sad when this happens because it's not the tiger's fault that it has to be put down. What else are you going to do with it in a neighborhood? I think that apparently the family of that guy who was attacked by the tiger, they're going to sue the people who own the tiger. And that's right. Because they should pay for this guy's hospital bills. And it could have been a whole lot worse. I feel very bad for the tiger, obviously. But the people who kept it, it's just there's no way you can explain that as being a good thing to me, as a pet. I mean, really. It's just asking for trouble.
Boredom.
Congo Chris says, here's what you do when you have imposter syndrome. Shut the fuck up. Take a deep breath. And crack on. The best way to learn a job is to just do it.
Love
yes, and I think I discovered this. I said the other day on the show that my favorite thing, it was after we had a particularly busy day last week, and there were a couple of them. I said that I've realized if I'm not busy, I start to spend a lot of time in my own head. And that's where you start to get nervous and you start worrying about yourself and you start thinking about things and how can I get this right? And how can I get that right? And what am I going to do about this? If you're in your head too much, that's a you thing. And it's probably because you're just not busy. The reason people, as you said, Lebang, the reason people are so soft, some people, let's just say some people are so soft is because they don't have enough to do. So what do you do when you don't have enough to do? You start thinking about your own mental health, your position in society, your status, your love life. You start questioning, you start doubting, and that's only because you're bored.
Yeah. Keep yourself busy with things that will get your mind really racing, you know, challenge yourself, learn a new skill, do something different. Just try. Because once you get into this real lull and you're not doing anything, an idle mind, I mean, we all know.
The devil's
it's a
work.
Dangerous place. Yeah, that's exactly. And that's where you start just doing crazy things. So just keep yourself busy and you'll attract that. Like I was listening to this other yoga instructor the other day and he was speaking about peace and how peace should be a staple and a basic. It shouldn't be like this thing that you go on a big search for and your life should be peace should be a basic commodity. You know, it can't be anything outside of that. And a part of that is also just attracting the right things to yourself. Just keep yourself busy and you'll attract the things that you want to continue doing. And you won't even have time of day to worry, you know, about, oh, what about, where's the, because you'll just be too busy to care.
Do you want to know where they found the tiger?
Oh, yes, shame.
Okay, so apparently Community Policing Forum representative Gresham Mandy said reports received of activity on the Arboretum farm at Walker's Fruit Farms Wednesday at about 1:55 in the morning. The location's 2 kilometers from where Sheba was last known to have been roaming around. She had entered the farm area with 6 dwellings and with families living there. Sheba attacked and killed one of the domestic animals, and a call was made for urgent assistance. Members responded on the scene and began to track the tiger. He said that Russi Erasmus, who's the owner of Sheba, was present during the search. The teams managed to locate her near one of the houses on the farm. Can you imagine if she'd got into a house and, like, killed a kid? Huh?
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey. There would be, like, literal people would be protesting.
So at 3:45 in the morning, the decision was made to euthanize her while it was still safe to do so. Unfortunately, at that moment, darting was not an option. She had moved during the night across the hills to the west side of the farm, bringing her close to livestock and other residents in a more densely populated area. It was not an easy decision to make, and the safety of the community of the fruit farm was a priority. Since the escape, Sheba attacked 39-year-old William Mokwena, a pig, 2 dogs as well. Both dogs had to be put down due to the severity of the injuries. Well, it's a tiger.
I mean, and a pig?
Yeah.
Poor pig.
The poor pig.
Getting caught in the crossfire.
Shame.
All that bacon?
Shame. Well,
no, man.
Must have been
tasty, just stop having
tasty pig.
Pet tigers, man.
Please, can we? Tigers are actually really friendly animals, says Ricky. I have watched Winnie the Pooh and the tiger was chilled. Yeah. Carl says, if they don't open a Tiger in Walkerville after this, they've missed a marketing opportunity. Jesus. Oh, God. Francis, with some very good advice, basically taking what Lebang and I were talking about and putting it into much more cogent words. If you want to stay sane, get out of your head. That's so true.
Yeah.
You know, and also people who are constantly in their own heads, they are not the kind of people who can think about or for other people. And we need more people on earth who are not thinking about themselves. You know, your own happiness is a priority for you, but it's not the priority for everyone else.
Sure.
And there are lots of people who happiness is so far down the road for them on their list of priorities that if you can help them get there by just getting them out of survival mode, you're doing a good thing. So if you're worried about if you're at the end of, like, your Maslow's hierarchy of needs, you've got food in your stomach, you have a you know, roof over
safety
your head
is sorted.
Right. You've got all of that stuff, then instead of thinking even more about yourself, maybe it would be nice if you thought about someone else
for a change.
That would be nice. So there's a new episode, speaking of getting out of your head, on Beyond Madness today, and I'm very excited about this show. As you know, Professor Christopher Paul Szabo is absolutely amazing. He's one of the most interesting people that we get to see every week at Cliff Central, and he's recorded an amazing episode here. A recent article in the Spectator magazine posed a really interesting question. Is losing God making America miserable? Just think about that, because the percentage of Americans who believe in God has dropped from more than 90% between 1944 and 2011 to 81%. So almost 10% of Americans have turned their backs on God as of May 2022. Now, the article further notes that depression and anxiety rates were at an all-time high. Association is obviously not causation, but where does religion and the belief system that you have fit into your lives? And are they necessary to have a fulfilled life? Dr. Ian Westmore and Dr. Lennart Erickson weigh in on this week's edition of Beyond Madness, brought to you in proud association with Adcock Ingram OTC, the sponsors of Brave. Listen whenever and wherever you get your podcasts. That is such an interesting thing. Obviously, you know, people are saying that, you know, correlation isn't causation here, but it's interesting that as soon as people, you know, drop religion, it seems that a similar cohort of people start to develop depression and anxiety. They're not always related, and this is probably what they'll talk about in the episode. But, you know, is there a religious impulse in people? Is there an itch that needs to be scratched that religion sorts out? And, you know, for many people, religion provides you with hope. It provides you with answers that are very difficult for us to answer all on our own. answers to questions that we sometimes don't want to pose. So I think that this is really important to discuss. And you know, I've kind of moved a little bit on the spectrum of being this militant atheist who was always very, very rude and mean about religion. And I've kind of moved, I wouldn't say to the point where I'm myself religious, but I can certainly, I have respect now and I'm able to talk to people about religion without it being all about me, which is just, when I think back how embarrassing it is that I behaved like that. And I do, I suppose that maybe part of it is that humans have all these questions that they don't have answers to, and religion helps fill those gaps. But also it gives people a sense of purpose and meaning. You know, if you believe, if you believe in something greater than yourself, then you have something to be accountable for. Then, and you have something to live for. And for people who don't have that, you know, if you grew up in a world where you had no purpose and meaning and you didn't have any accountability and you don't have religion, you're probably like out to sea without any means of getting back to land. You know, you don't have sails, you don't have oars, you're just kind of, you're stuck.
Floating. You're floating through life, and more people have nothing to believe in. A lot of people don't stand for anything, Gareth. So what religion, and I don't like the word religion, is quite heavy. I prefer spirituality. What that does is that it sort of gives you like a guide, just like a sense of what am I doing here? And like, when I go, what would I have achieved? And I'm actually, you know, my take on this is that as a mother, I'm currently like trying to figure out if I take my kids to church every Sunday, because I grew up in a household where I got taken to church every Sunday, and really it helped a crap load. Like I was just, I was focused, you know, I believed in stuff, and I had a something to answer to or someone to answer to. And it helped so much growing up. And only in my later years in my adult life, I'm now, you know, I can decide what I believe in or what I don't believe in. But as a child, yo, dude, it helped so much. So as the mother of a household now, I'm like, okay, cool. Take my kids to church every Sunday. Then when they're ready, they can decide what they want or don't want to believe in. But just because so many people have nothing to stand on, have nothing to believe in, they barely even believe in themselves and what they do.
Right.
This is just like a nice little, you know, you like it's start here and then you'll take it from here, you know, and don't feel bad about how you felt about it in your earlier years. You know, it's a journey, and all of our journeys are different. At some point, I completely didn't believe in anything at all. I was that very person. Yeah. And it just took a little bit of growth for me to be like, actually, you know, these things do exist and this is how I feel about them, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, the beauty of life is that you go through different phases. You know, you're the same Gareth Cliff that once upon a time felt completely differently. But look at you today. You can sit here and be like, now I respect it. Now I see that it adds value in such and such a way. So it's just a journey, and it's such a personal journey as well. But having something to believe in really makes the biggest difference in your day. You wake up and you're not just like, I wonder where this day is going to take me. Well, you're like, I know where this day is going to take me.
I wonder how many people, if they did sit down with a psychologist or a psychiatrist and they talked about depression and anxiety and they got out of their head for a minute and they discovered after, you know, after a little bit of introspection, that maybe the reason that they're feeling so unmoored and that they're feeling so out to sea is because they don't have anything to believe in. I don't understand why that isn't part of the discussion. And I'm glad that they're tackling this on Beyond Madness, because it really should be part of it. It's interesting. I was reading such a great article just yesterday, or it could have been the day before, about how, you know, different political beliefs are actually influenced by the way you look, how tall you are, how happy you are, whether or not you have a belief system, how you attribute value to things. Those things have more of an effect on your political positioning and your ideology and the things you believe in politically than any propaganda or state system can ever have. And that's amazing. Jeez. Yeah, I'll put the article. I'll actually go through it. It's worth reading. So I might even just do it on the show at some point. But fascinating breakdown of like why people would go to the left or to the right politically. And it has there's a lot of it that has to do with biology and not even to do with, you know, propaganda or state systems or education or who you spend time with or any of that stuff. A lot of it is just built into you biologically, which is really amazing. Organized religion has been holding back humanity's growth for centuries now. They use hope, faith, and guilt to trap our minds. Look, I mean, you're preaching to the choir here, ironically, square pig, but there is value in it. You know, who are we, you and I, square peg, to point at people who wake up because they believe they were made by God and they have a purpose on this earth? Who are we to come in and go, nah, you don't, you're full of shit, and just destroy their whole, like, the whole structure of their lives just because it makes us feel like we're intellectually superior? I don't see the value in that. And frankly, we don't know. The only position that you can take on things like the existence of God or anything else, the only truly humble position you can take is to say, I don't know. Right?
Once. Because to each their own. For some people, it works brilliantly and beautifully. They live happy lives and they keep it moving and they walk into the sunset. For others, it simply doesn't work. And if it doesn't work for you, that's fine. Keep it moving. But definitely to call other people this and that because they believe in something you don't.
Sure.
Especially when it comes to religion, it's tricky.
And by the way, this doesn't mean that I'm not going to make fun of religion. I'm going to make fun of everything, just like I currently make fun of sex and politics and everything else. It's not going to stop. I mean, here, you know, Carl says, Gareth, now that you're religious, will you stop all the fucking filthy language? No. Congo Chris says, woke culture is the new religion. I'm an atheist too, but without moral framework, people will adopt their worldview to the extent of religion. It's what Orwell says. It's what he calls a smelly little orthodoxy. Well, yes, I think a lot of people have taken political ideology and implanted it where religion used to live. And then they start treating their political position as a religious one. And it has, you know, it has original sins. I spoke to Douglas Murray about this last year.
Yeah.
And even more recently, Peter Boghossian. You know, if you haven't heard those interviews, it's worth taking a listen to. Sanele says, Gareth once told some guy who was arguing with him and threatening that God was going to punish him that, well, that's mythology. Your imaginary friend is not allowed to be my problem. Yeah, I think I did say that.
Sure. Can you confirm or deny, Gareth? The receipts are coming out.
Tracy says, Gareth, you interviewed Jesus. Of course he's real. What's not to believe in? Yes, I know. Bitleng says, while he's still on holiday, in the Survival Guide to Black Mental Health by Rita Walker, psychologist encourages going to church or any faith as part of a solution for mental health. Well,
there you go.
I think there's a huge amount to be said for that. You know, and for some people, it's a genuine belief. It's like the way the world is structured. This is their reality.
Sure.
It's how they think everything should operate. For other people, it's just a coping mechanism. Somewhere in between is where most people find themselves. Influencers are the new gods to teenagers, and Instagram is their Bible. They scroll it morning, noon, and night and idolize people on it. Social media has more influence than religion these days. Well, Blues, I don't know. I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you. I think you're right. That's all true, but my God, again, irony of
irony. How scary is that, though?
Terrifying.
That is scary. Like, what's in it? Like, what's going to happen to our kids when they become adults?
If that's true, and the influences are new gods, then we're in big trouble.
Yeah.
All right, very good. That's all we've got for now. We're going to come back in just a moment or two, and we will have a whole lot more for you. Stick around. CliffCentral.com. It is 7 o'clock. Don't go anywhere.
CliffCentral.com.